Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Welcome in to a 5-0 Warriors preseason record. Warriors take care of business in Las Vegas against the Los Angeles Lakers last night. It is the fourth time in the last 10 years that the Warriors have had 5+ preseason wins. And why is that significant? Well, the three other years were 2015 championship, 2017 championship, and 2022, you already know. So this is just the next sign that the Warriors are going to win the championship this year. But in all seriousness, the Warriors did look pretty good. They came out with a very interesting, intriguing starting lineup tonight. Maybe in part due to the fact that Pajemski was out with a broken nose and Melton with a sore back. So we didn't really have a shooting guard. But nevertheless, Steve Kerr welcomed back Andrew Wiggins to a new starting position at shooting guard with Curry, Wiggins, JK at the three, Draymond, and TJD. I like the lineup. My question would be whether this is just a one-night instance, but I think there's more to it than that. Steve Kerr even said he had kind of played with the idea of interchanging Wiggins in for Klay Thompson last year at the two spot. So I think this is the first time that Wiggins has played the two for the Warriors in his tenure. I like the versatility of the lineup. It's got very good balance. It's got good size for what we can do, especially against a team like the Lakers, which is also why I wonder if maybe this was just a one-time thing just because we're playing so much length. But I do think it's gonna give it another shot because the lineup did pretty well. Like I was saying, it's got very good athleticism on the wings in Wiggins and Kuminga. The question with this lineup really is, though, can we generate enough good looks with the minimal spacing that it has? You know, we have two non-shooters in Dre and TJD, and Kuminga doesn't really provide spacing yet. And then there's also a huge lack of playmaking outside of Steph Curry as basically the engine here. I mean, Draymond can handle the ball and he can pass, but I wouldn't say he's a playmaker where he's collapsing a defense, drawing a double team. Yeah, the pick and roll with Steph was always a thing of beauty. But again, it's a little lack of playmaking with this lineup. So I'm going to get into kind of just, you know, some potential tweaks to this lineup that I like in just a minute. But those are my initial thoughts. And this lineup came out well. I thought Wiggins looked like Wiggins. You know, they've been saying good things about Andrew, saying he's in good shape finally. Unfortunately, you know, as his father passed away after a couple years, if not more, battle with cancer. But as Steve Kerr said, you know, he hopes that, you know, Wiggins has found his peace and is able to move forward from it. And it, for all that everyone thinks coming out of the Warriors camp, is that Wiggins, you know, has been there. He has been in great shape. He's got put on some muscle again, and he's kind of back to being the Andrew Wiggins that we know. So if that's the case, a little bit of rust in this one. But he did fine defensively. He didn't shoot particularly well from three, but that's to be expected. He did get to the free throw line 5 times and made all 5 of them. Just kind of building upon what last year, I think the last second half of the season, he shot over 80% from the free throw line. So that would be a huge, huge plus for the Warriors to get another good, hopefully good free throw shooter to the line more and get some easy buckets. But I liked it. He wasn't super aggressive. He needs to be more aggressive. Steve Kerr said he wants Wiggins shooting upwards of 6 threes a game and attacking the hoop and playing good defense. We'll see where that gets, but it was good to see Andrew Wiggins back in the lineup. So back to this lineup, right? So what I actually was thinking about before this lineup came out is a lineup with Curry, Wiggins at the two, Kuminga, then you put Kyle Anderson instead of TJD in the lineup and you play him at the four, and then Draymond slides over to the five. We've seen a little bit of that front court with Dray and Kyle Anderson. I like that you basically get another playmaker there and another ball hand there, allows Steph to play off ball where he's the most dangerous a bit. It gives you another switchable, versatile defender. And just a connector on both sides of the ball. He's a very smart player. He's a winning player. I mean, he's a lot like Pajemski, but in the front court. He just does all the little things well, and you know, not the best scorer. Kyle Anderson doesn't give you a ton of shooting, but he can knock down an open three, which he knocked down 2 of them last night. But he just gives you a little everything. He was running point guard when Curry was off the floor. I don't think that's going to happen too much, but without our two starting other guards, you had Kyle doing it, and it was fine. And then he was guarding Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the defensive end. So he's doing a little bit of everything. So he just unlocks a few more things you can do with an interesting lineup centered around Curry, Wiggins, JK, and Dre. But we'll see a lot of that quartet of four. And you're going to see that with Pajemski. You're going to see it with TJD, obviously. You'll see it with Melton. You'll probably see it with Buddy Hield, and we need some more shooting. It's just, you might see it with Lindy Waters. You know, that's going to be kind of the core four, and we're going to see what works with them. But just a light tip of the hat, Steve Kerr, for finally getting outside your comfort zone, playing a new lineup, tinkering, and I think most of Dub Nation was pretty happy with the results last night. And I also obviously have to make note that starting lineup is probably one of our best defensive lineups you're going to get, right? I mean, aside from Steph, you know, you're getting Wiggins, who's your best defender, other than Draymond, who's in there, and then you get the shot blocker in TJD. So let's talk about Kuminga a little bit. Pretty good last night. He's had a great preseason. He's matched up against LeBron James in the early first quarter quite a bit. Ups and downs, right? He had a few good buckets. You know, we know he can attack the hoop. We know his offense is he can score. If there's nothing else he can do, he can score. He can be athletic. He can put pressure on the rim. He had a nice and one finish over Anthony Davis. He attacked Anthony Davis again later, got to the line. Not scared of the 7-foot unibrow, but he's in there and he's firing away. On the flip side, you're seeing some of the same issues with Kuminga that we need to clean up. I mean, there's one bad turnover. He just threw it away. It's a bad pass from the top. That's just careless. So I would just say more focus. Defensively, another lack of focus. He was on LeBron James first quarter and just falls asleep. And I don't know how you fall asleep when you're guarding LeBron James, but LeBron just kind of attacks and dunks. Kind of lazy effort on a 2-on-1 playing defense. Just didn't give much effort there. Which brings me to my point is Steve Kerr was talking about Jonathan Kuminga last week. And, you know, the things that Jonathan needs to really work on the most is, first off, he needs to be better on the glass, right? He needs to be a better rebounder. He's athletic. He's strong. There's no reason he shouldn't be a better rebounder. The off-ball defense, we all know, he needs to not fall asleep. He needs to be in the right position. He needs to be more aware and have better instincts. And that will lead to better shot blocking, right? There's no reason with his verticality, his athleticness, why is he not blocking more shots? That he should be up close to a block a game if he's got enough anticipation. So that is a part that may or may not ever get there. And that's connected to what Steve Kerr singled out as the most important thing in Jonathan Kuminga's development, and that's transition defense. He's already one of the best transition offensive players in the league, right? He's got the tools to basically do the exact opposite and be a transition defender. And everything we just talked about, it just needs to have a little bit more awareness and just anticipation and quite frankly, effort and focus. You need to want to block a shot. You know, want to pin a shot against the backboard. Look at LeBron James, especially an early LeBron James, right? Like, sure, he's an athletic freak, but so is Jonathan Kuminga, and there's no reason he shouldn't be feared on those chase down blocks as much as LeBron James or somewhere near LeBron James fear level on those. So Kuminga had some ups and downs. Good to see him coexist with Wiggins. We're going to need to figure out those two can continue to play aggressive together on offense, attack, and then also be cohesive as a unit on defense. Let's see. Well, I guess it's hard to kind of gauge this game. The Lakers, they didn't play LeBron a ton of minutes. The Lakers, quite frankly, don't have a ton of offense aside from Anthony Davis, who continues to be a problem for the Warriors. The lack of length for the Warriors was definitely apparent trying to guard Anthony Davis. But the Warriors led, the Warriors won. Other than Anthony Davis, the Warriors held the Lakers pretty much in check. And the Lakers didn't shoot well, right? They shot, I kind of chalked my stats up through three quarters because the fourth is a little bit of just kind of subs in and out. But the Lakers shot 35% from the field through three quarters. They only had 70 points. Usually, you know, if you're about 77, 78, that's about league normal rate there. So the defense was good. Combination of mixed shots, but you got to give the Warriors missed shots, but you got to give the Warriors credit for making it tough on the Lakers and just kind of forcing them to chuck up some a lot of Hachimura threes and just non-shooters putting up long shots. And despite the length disadvantage, the Warriors won the rebounding battle. They continue to rebound well. It's just one of the Warriors' strengths because of that, just because of Draymond specifically, but just that mentality to rebound and commit to it. Hopefully that continues to carry over from last year. My questions are, so looking at the offense, so we know that the Warriors' identity, their MO is going to be to get up three-pointers. It's often taking the first available good three-pointer you can. It's playing around the perimeter. The question is, how sustainable is this style of offense? Can you continue to put up 40 three-pointers a game and deal with the three-point variance? You'll be great some games when it's falling. It'll be tough if you're not getting good looks and teams are just selling out on the perimeter. You're going to have some counters to it. What happens when that three-pointer just isn't falling? And we kind of got a little look at that last night. The Warriors didn't shoot that well. They got up, again, through three quarters. They got up 34 threes. They made 9 of them, which was 26%. Most games, if you're missing, 25 shots from three and shooting 26%, whatever, however you want to do that, it's going to be a losing effort. But the Warriors, not only were they winning, but they still dropped 83 points through three quarters. So they found ways to still be ahead of pace offensively. Obviously, the defense was great. But the Warriors, they're finding ways to score from some unlikely sources, potentially. And we'll kind of talk about that in a second. But the reason why I would say if this is going to be sustainable, it's because of what we've seen. They're getting good looks from three. They're cutting, they're moving. It's not just, hey, I'm going to dribble and take a pull-up three. It's, hey, we're moving, making good passes. It's what you've seen the Warriors do well for the past decade or so. Not as much last year or so, but the Warriors get up threes, but this year in the preseason, they've been getting up good, set, balanced threes with pretty good shooters for the most part. Yeah, you're going to have some of your bigs, Draymond's going to have a couple of three-point attempts, so is Kyle Anderson. You're not going to get, you're not going to shoot 40% every night, and not everyone is going to shoot 40% on the year, but you can kind of hover in that upper 30 percentile if you're going to be shooting good looks like the Warriors seem to be getting. It still remains to be seen, in more clutch time, when that half court really kind of shrinks the offense down and you're having to generate good looks and you're not just able to get threes up at will. We'll see what happens then. But for now, I'll say that I'm tentatively optimistic that the Warriors are going to continue to generate good looks and from three. To that extent, it kind of goes with the strength of numbers idea that, we're going to need second, third, fourth score by committee. Last night you saw it. We had 8 different players in double digits and Pajemski and Melton didn't even play. So on any given night, you're going to have Steph Curry dropping, call it 25 to 28 points. We're going to have to hope that Kuminga is going to drop close to 20. And then we'll say we need Wiggins to drop, closer to at least 15. Ideally, I want him at 17, but we'll call it 16. So you have those three guys. It needs to be consistent. Then you need to find about 9 to 12 points from multiple other sources. So I'm talking Pajemski, who last year averaged 9 points. Melton, who's for his career averages about 9 points. Buddy Hield, who's going to be probably your sixth man, he might be scoring actually closer to 15 points a game based on the rate that he's been putting him up. I don't know if he's going to be draining the rate that he is right now at 50-something percent from three, but Buddy Hield can actually be pushing the mid-teens in points. Even Draymond should be getting you about 7-8 points a game. TJD should be getting some easy ones. Looney as well, although Looney, you're not going to be getting close to 10. And then the last name, Moses Moody. After the game, Pajemski talked about Moody and just said, this is what Mo does. He gets buckets, to which that reminded me of another Mo buckets that we used to have. And it was just kind of good to say, hey, you know what? We might have the second coming of a Mo buckets with Moses Moody here. Moody, let's just talk about him. 21 points, 5 three-pointers. I think it was 5 for 7 on threes. Sure, some of it was at towards the end in the fourth quarter, but he was kind of giving it to them all game long. Getting his buckets would get my player game ball of the game. You know what I mean? His game has really evolved, right? He's not just a stand there spacing and catch and shoot three-point shooter now. He's moving. His movement three-point catch and shoot game has gotten much better. Off of that, now he's able to attack the hoop. he's never going to be a great finisher at the hoop, but before it was just out of control, falling to the ground, just not really crafty or seeing the floor. It seems to have slowed down a little bit for him when he puts the ball on the floor, where he can get to his little mid-range at the elbow. He hit one or two of those tonight. Then he's able to kind of get a little further into the hoop. Still not a great playmaker passer off of it, but you see him a little more collected, had a couple finishes at the rim, got to the line, which has been great this preseason. If he's able to get to the line, get to his mid-range, and kind of score at three levels, then you're going to see a guy that's going to be averaging close to 12, 14 points, depends on the minutes he's getting. And now we're talking, you know, 5, 6, 7 Warriors, you know, averaging double figures. And that is the recipe to a good cooking offense, and everything opens up from there. I think we've learned Moses Moody must play. Steve Kerr has seemed to concede and admit that, yes, Moses must play. And within the same breath, though, he followed that up with, oh, we just have so many guys, there's just no way to play them all. I don't know where the minutes fall off. It's probably GP2 a little bit. We're not going to do that right now. But basically, Moody has to find 22 minutes or more per game. Like, make him your seventh man, whatever you want to call it. You know, if Buddy Hield's your sixth man, Moody should be your seventh man. When Curry's off the floor, you need a couple shooters. You need a couple guys who can put the ball on the floor. You just need some just scorers who will get you mo buckets. So that's potentially where the Warriors can kind of recover some of what was lost in the scoring department from Klay Thompson, what was lost from not being able to make a big trade for a number two scorer, and we're going to make them up in bunches as a committee. So, again, Moses Moody, player of the game. Can't talk about him enough. It remains to be seen what we're going to do with him. But Steve Kerr, you know the deal now. It's just got to be done. All right. Well, another 5-win preseason. Can we make it 6 on Friday? We play the Lakers again, I believe, here in Los Angeles. Yes, I live in Los Angeles, home of the enemy. But let's do that. It's our dress rehearsal before we start next week, regular season opener. Next Wednesday against the Portland Trail Blazers. All right, guys, it's been fun. It's been fun getting back to this. My blue and gold is kind of bleeding out a little bit. Remember, it's basketball season, you know? It's football got us here, but I am ready for some Warriors just like y'all. All right, until next time, this has been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.